listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I trust you well. Good to be back with you. I'm going to just show a couple of photos, flick up a couple of photos from my trip to Alice Springs. I was in Alice Springs last Sunday, had a great time, and as a church, we gave a lot of support to help them build their building. So that's me preaching at it. That's the building. Those doors went on the week just before I arrived, so they are having like an indoor service now, which is good. And there you go. Back to the other one. That's from inside. That's from inside the building, the buses that they bus people in. And me being who I normally am, I'm normally enjoying the moment that I forget to take photos when there's actually people there. So I got caught up in enjoying the moment of the service and all of that and didn't take any photo of the actual people that were in the building. But that's Yen. She was leading worship. That was from a couple of Sundays ago. And then one of the nights we had a gathering with some of the guys. Some of you will know the dailies, so they're there as well. So it was Jen's birthday that day, so there we go. But big thank you to all of you for your contribution towards that building project. It is it's been a wonderful blessing, and now they've got the doors on. They've still got a long way to go to get it finished, but in a couple of weeks there's a team of us going up there, not to work on the building, but to help them draw others in and connect people into the life of the church there. So we're looking forward to that. So we'll be heading off just after Easter on the Easter Tuesday. So if you continue to pray for the church and the building and the work there in Alice, that the Lord continues to move across the church that we're connected with, but across all the churches. They need a revival in Alice Springs, just as we need a revival here in the peninsula. But if we can continue to pray for that, that'd be fantastic. But God's doing some amazing things up there as well. So can we jump over to the other slide? And I'm going to see if I can control it. Okay. When heading up to Easter, I'm going to try and preach from up there. So you're going to have to look at me and look up there, and I'm going to look up there sometime. So we'll see how all of this works. The guys online can't see us at all. We've had technical problems, so they just get our voice. So they won't see me looking up, so that's all good. But in the lead up to Easter, as I mentioned online in the letter, I don't know if you got the letter. If you didn't get a letter from Bernadette this week, could you let her know? Because that means your email address isn't in our system. So if you didn't get that from her, or it went to spam, you can check spam first, or junk mail, try and retrieve it from there. But if it's not there, let us know and we'll make sure you're on the list. But we're going to just wanting encouraging us all to read through the Gospel of John between the 1st of April and the end of Easter. So it's a couple of chapters, one chapter a day, and then there's about 3 days where we have to read too. But I'm reading through John's Gospel. I'd love to invite you on that journey with me. But as we lead to Easter, I wanted to look at this idea of lifted up. And as a culture, we love to lift people up, but as Aussies, we also like to tear them down. We call that tall poppy syndrome. But this week, there's been a number of people that we've lifted up, and one of those being Shane Warne, Warney. Like there was a big celebration of his life at the MCG, and thousands of people gathered to honour him and just speak about the legend that he was and the achievements that he made. So we do like to lift people up and lift things up. And then during the week they had the Academy Awards, and Will Smith got lifted up after doing something weirdly strange, and the reaction and something that went on there. But then he gets lifted up as the best actor, and then you think, what's going on there? But so all sorts of things happening. But we love to lift people up, whether it's a sporting hero or someone that's been significant in our life. But it's what we do. As you jump into John's Gospel, as I was reading through there, the very start of John, the very first lines talk about, and most of you would know them, but it's, in the beginning, the Word was God, and with God, and the Word became God, and He made everything. So in John's Gospel, John is immediately lifting Jesus Christ. When he's referring to the Word, he's referring to Jesus, and he's lifting Him right up to the place of being God Himself. And there's no doubt about it in John's gospel. He lifts him to that place. And then as you read through chapter 1, you see John the Baptist saying, well, don't look at me, look at him. He's the Lamb of God. He even allows his disciples to say, don't follow me, follow him. So he's pushing the attention away. Andrew says, well, we've found the Messiah. And the Messiah for him was the one who was going to save them. God's anointed one, God's Savior, the one who was going to come. And they'd prophesied about, and that's what Philip said, well, I found the one that was prophesied about, all the scriptures and all the prophets, we found that one. So they're lifting up Jesus. And Nathanael says, well, you're the Son of God and the King of Israel. And then as you jump through to John 12, and we're going to look at a passage in John 12 in a minute, but he jumped through to there on Palm Sunday, which is actually next Sunday, but there's this big crowd of people all singing Hosanna and praising the name of Jesus and lifting him up and saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the King of Israel. And there's all this blessing and lifting up. And then after that, we jump into this next verse, and it's John 12, verse 32. And Jesus saying, well, I want to lift up and glorify God. And God then, there's this thunder and a sound, and there's this voice from heaven which talks about Jesus. And Jesus says, well, that voice wasn't for me. It was for your benefit, so you know who I am. And then there's this statement. And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And then he says, he said this so the kind of death he was going to show the kind of death that he was going to die. And this confused the people. Like, there's all this lifting up and praising and going up, but then Jesus says, well, actually, I'm going to be lifted up, but it's not how you thought. And it confused them. Yeah, I am actually going to be lifted up and raised up, and I am going to draw all these people to myself, but it was an absolute contradiction to the crowd. It confused them, it sent them into chaos. They went from going, well, you're meant to be our king, you're meant to be the Messiah, you're meant to be this, but we know from scriptures, and this is what the conflict was for them, is that, well, the Messiah, the anointed one, the king, doesn't die. Our scriptures tell us that. Our Old Testament scriptures tell us that the Messiah and the king lasts forever and lives forever and doesn't die. So how can you die a brutal death on a cross? Because that word of being lifted up there showed how he was going to die. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to the cross. And that just flipped them out. They were totally confused. There's another passage where there's another man who's confused. And his name's Nicodemus. And that's in John 3. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And it says it comes under the cover of night. He comes at night so that all the other religious leaders, all the other Pharisees, those people that he didn't want him to see that he was with Jesus and believing in Jesus and coming close to Jesus, said, oh, well, he didn't want them to see. So he came at night and had this conversation with Jesus. And Jesus starts to talk to him. And that's where Jesus says, well, if you want to have eternal life, you've got to be born again. And that passage comes out through there. And then Nicodemus is confused. He says, well, how do I get born again? I'm grown, I'm big. I can't go back into my mother's tummy. How can I be born again? And then Jesus speaks to him again to bring clarity to his confusion, saying, well, there is a way. It is possible for you to receive salvation. There is possible for you to receive eternal life. And there's something powerful which happens. And this is where we get another one of these passages where Jesus says, I'll be lifted up. It's John 3, verse 14 and 15. It says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so immediately Nicodemus knows all of what that means. He knows that story back to front and front to back. He knows everything about that story. So the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So Nicodemus is getting this. Well, I've got to be born again. I've got to receive this thing. And Jesus is saying, well, it's all there in this story for you. And that story is a story about the people rebelling against God, God sending some snakes that bit them, and then the people started to die, these poisonous snakes, and the people are dying, so they crawl out to God again, and then God says to Moses, well, make a bronze snake, stick it on a post, and when people look at the bronze snake on that post, they will survive, they'll live. So the snakes were the judgment. Today, Sandra and I went for a walk down the Esplanade, down the boardwalk at Largs, and as we were walking along, there was a big brown snake on the footpath. And I just read this story. So I was thinking, God, I hope this is not your judgment. I hope I haven't done something wrong this week. Fortunately, I just stood still and the snake slithered off and left me alone. So I thought, okay, I'm good. I'm good with God. No problems. But this snake was bringing judgment on them, and this poison is running through their body. And the way that they got salvation or their lives were saved was to look to this bronze snake on a post. When they made that a deliberate, intentional act of looking, they could have stayed in their tent, and if they'd been bitten and the poison was through in their body, they would have definitely died. But God provided a way for them to live. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, that's exactly what is happening with me. That the very thing that actually brought judgment on you, the very thing that is actually causing you to die, when you look at that on the post, that's actually going to bring life to you. So the picture for us is that Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is, when I'm lifted up and I'm on that post, when people look to me hanging on the cross and they look at me on that cross, there is life and salvation for them. Beautiful picture. Right there, right back there in the Old Testament of Jesus and the God preparing in the Old Testament pictures for us so we understand what the cross is. So the bronze snake was the thing that had bit them and caused the poison. And we know in the scriptures tell us that Jesus became sin so that we could receive his righteousness, that we could receive life. So when Jesus is actually hanging on that cross, the sins of the world are upon him. So when we look to Jesus at that point, when he's hanging on the cross, we're reminding ourselves that sins are forgiven and the sins of the world are upon him. Both mine and yours, those things that we've done wrong, they are put upon him. And when we look at that, there is life. Jesus being lifted up was to bring glory to God and to make God look glorious, to make him famous, but it was also to rescue us from our sins. So for us to receive that, it's not a quick glance. It's not that glance that boys give a girl when they see a pretty girl walking down the street. They quickly look and say, I'm not meant to be looking. It's a deliberate, intentional look. It's not that casual glance. It's actually saying, I am going to deep and longingly look at the cross. I'm going to look at Jesus. And in doing that, we're actually lifting him up in our lives and we're putting him in a place where we do live. And there is life for us. So I want to encourage you. How deep is your look at Jesus at the moment? And to be honest, we go through phases in life. Of times when we know we're looking deeply at Jesus, but other times when maybe we're looking away or distracted by other things. But for Nicodemus, Jesus is saying, you look to me, you look to the cross, and there is life for you. Maybe you're still confused. How can something so brutal and so destructive and so painful for Christ be glorious? How can it bring life? And that is a good question. But you know, love is always glorious. And Jesus Christ, in that act of dying on the cross and hanging on that cross, he is doing one of the greatest acts that anyone can do for a person. He's actually dying in our place. And every act of love is attractive. That it's a glorious thing. And for centuries, people have looked back at the cross and it's touched people's hearts. People have looked back to the cross that happened over 2,000 years ago and it still brings transformation and change and life to people. So it's a glorious act and it brings glory to God, but it also brings us to that place of life and receiving life. Then in John, that passage in John 12 that we're reading, it says that the second part of the verse says that I'll draw all people to myself. That Jesus is drawing people to himself. And I have a time when we're up in the mountains of Papua New Guinea and We're out there in this very remote area. There's no electricity, no power. We didn't have generators because it's a two-day walk to get there. And we had some solar panels and a little light. And at this point in time, we had an outreach team there. So Danae Van Hook was there. Any of you know her? She wasn't married at that point in time. Sam and Tanya Chesser were there. There was a few others there. And we said, oh, well, let's have a night service and a prayer meeting. So we put the solar lights on. And we're in this valley. And there's no light for kilometers and kilometers. So every bug, moth, insect in the whole valley was attracted to that light. They were drawn to that light. And during the prayer meeting, Danae's got like both eyes open and she's just dodging and weaving. And she was scared of every of these bugs. It's the tropics. They're big bugs. But she was freaked out by them all. I had to stop myself from laughing at her expense. But she was actually quite stressed by all these bugs going on. But there was this drawing in. That Jesus Christ, the light of the world, there's a drawing to. And as we look to him, he draws people to himself. And I trust that you've felt that drawing, that attractiveness of the cross, that of being, though something so brutal has drawn you to Christ, and you continue to get drawn to him. But there's more to that word draw. That same word that is used, draw, is the same word that is used in the story in John 21 where Jesus tells the disciples, throw your net over the other side, and they pull all these fish in, and the net's so big, and then it says that they drawed the net, they pulled the net in up onto the shore. So yeah, there's this attractiveness that draws us, but there's also this act of actually physically drawing out of the water. That Jesus says that when he's lifted up, he will draw you out. He will pull you out and into something. Oh, I thank the Lord for that, that I'm being pulled into a new way of life. I'm being pulled to a new level of living. I'm being pulled into Christ-likeness. As Jesus is lifted up, he lifts us up. That's what I see out of that passage, is Jesus himself is being lifted up. He is then drawing. He is actually physically then lifting us up. So if you feel like you're down, Jesus says, as I am lifted up, I will lift you up. So as we lift Christ up in our life, it actually lifts, we are lifted up in that. Christ is at work lifting us up. There's Psalm 30 verse 3, I'll jump over this, but because I've got so much to say and so little time. Preacher's curse. But Jesus lifts us up from death to life, from darkness to light, from the old to the new. And Psalm 30 just talks about, you know, this pit and death, and he pulls us up out of that. He lifted David out of that place. He does the same and will do the same for you. In John 2, there's a beautiful story where Jesus turns the water into wine. And I don't know if Joe Habermill has preached from that passage here. I know he's preached here a few times, so I will quote him. But he looks at this passage and just talks about it being a new creation message, that the water is the old life and the wine is the new life, although they're both liquid, that the essence and substance that wine is isn't in the water, and that when we're saved, that there's this transition from water to wine, and that there's this new wine that is ours, which is the new creation life. But in the middle of that, as I was reading that story this week, is that there actually is a drawing out, that word drawing out, that the jug went in and they would draw, the water was drawn out and then it was poured into the cup. You know what? That new wine that we sang about, Tara led us in that song saying, oh, I want this new wine. That as we lift up Jesus, he draws that new wine from us and lifts us into that. Brings us into that new place of new life, of new wine, of new things, of light. That as we lift up Jesus, he lifts us up. As you lift up Jesus, he will lift you up and bring you into that new creation life. Wait, I'll just go back. No, I think I've got all that. Yeah, as we lift up Jesus, you become the Son of Light. And that's what John, if you look, read the end of John chapter 12, it says that, okay, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. And then at the end of that John 12, there's this promise that you will become the Son of Light, that we're drawn into light. You know, light is beautiful. Light is powerful. Light is warm. Light is energetic. Light is fast. That when we're a son of something, that actually means that we have those natures. So you are beautiful. You are light. You are energetic. And that you become that as you're lifted up. As we lift up Christ, he lifts us up into being light. We know that Jesus is the light of the world, but he actually lifts us up into that place that we would be a light. That we would be light. And I don't know whether you feel like you're light or whether you feel like you're dark, but I know when we fix our eyes on Jesus, he draws us into being light and a light to the people around us. Well, how does that happen? Well, Christ makes this promise. Christ will lift us up. This promise is there in the writings of James and Peter. He says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. What a promise. So as we humble ourselves, looking to Christ is a humble act. Saying, Jesus, I can't do this myself. I haven't got this all worked out. But when I look to you, I'm humbling myself and saying, I have a need for you. And as we humble ourselves, he actually promises right there that he would lift us up. 1 Peter says, oh, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. That when we lift up Christ, he will lift us up. As Christ lifts you up, or as Christ is lifted up, he will lift you up. How are you going at lifting up Christ in your life? Looking at the cross. And maybe you look at your life and you're saying, well, I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm light. I know these things. I'm this new creation life. But you see contradictions in your life. And we all live with those contradictions. I live with contradictions. I think I'm this, but sometimes I'm that. I want to so much be that new wine, but every now and then I go back to being water. That I go back to that. But the answer is to continue to lift up Christ in our lives, to get our eyes on him, longingly looking towards him, keeping our focus there. Whether it's, say, man, I've got some hurts going on in my life. I'm going to lift up Jesus. I've got some unforgiveness going on in my life. I'm going to lift up Jesus. Some bitterness or lust or greed, I'm going to look to Jesus because he will lift me up out of that. That when we fix our eyes on those things that pull us down, we end up down. But when we look to Jesus, he continues to lift us up. I don't know what you need lifting up out of, but I know that my Savior, my Jesus, is right there, willing and able and promising to bring up. And this Easter, as we head towards Easter, we're going to see the fulfillment of those passages and remember the fulfillment of those passages where Jesus said, I will be lifted up and I will draw all men unto myself. What is Jesus drawing you to? What is he drawing out of you? And I think we lift up Jesus Christ and we be that light to the people around us when we are living as he would have us live. When we fix our eyes on him and we are being who he would have us be, when we walk in fellowship with him, not in perfection, but walking in fellowship with him, we become more and more of that light that we shine to the people around us. What is Jesus wanting to draw you into? Not out of you, but into. What is he lifting you into? What is he pulling you up to? It's a new creation life, yes. But what is he elevating you to? What is he saying? I want this to go, this value in your life to go up. I want you to be truly human and live out your humanity the way I created you to be as creative human beings, going up and being an influence and an impact on this world. So as we lift up Jesus, he lifts us up. Let's pray. I'm going to ask Tara and the musicians to come and just play a song, and then we'll as we go into this time. Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you for the cross. I thank you for Easter. It's the centrality of our Christianity. And without that, we can't believe. And Lord Jesus, you wrote in the scriptures that you got John to write and record for us that, you know, it is all about believing in you. And that when we believe in you and we follow you, that there we have life. And Jesus, we lift up so many things. But tonight, we want to lift you up so that we are positioned in a place where you can lift us up. And Lord, I pray right now that you would draw and elevate each one of us as we longing and gaze and look to you, that you would draw us, that you would draw each one of us, that you would pull us up to and pull us out of and into being light, having life, living in that new creation, life that you have for us. Every one of us who's able, I'm just going to ask you to stand. If you need to sit, please stay seated. But if you're able to stand, I invite you to stand. And I want to ask you today, so do you have something that you need Jesus to lift you up from? Say, man, I've got some things going on. I want to humble myself and allow those things to be lifted up, and that Jesus would lift me up from that, out of the pit, out of the trouble, out of those things, and he would elevate me to the level where he would want me to be, into the things that, in the ways that he would have me be. I'm not going to ask you to share those with me or anything like that, but as we sing, I'd love for you just to say, Jesus, I'm going to fix my eyes on you. I want to get off that. I need to be elevated up into what you would have me be. And let go of those things that maybe they're continually pulling you down. But the way out is to elevate Jesus. Get your eyes on him. And there you'll see and move into your purpose and his will for your life. Thanks, Tara. Let's sing together.